Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today is Nedarim Daf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's Shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 11 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Omid Aleph. You'll notice a new Mishnah. Before we begin the Mishnah, in which you probably notice a couple of series markings, the double underline and diamond that appear, and on the side under the Mivneh, the structural note, we indicate the double underline highlights Kinuyim. Kinuyim, we saw, actually it's the name of our perek called Kinuyei Nedarim Kinedarim. We will see examples of those kind of words. Kinuyim being, we'll call them alternative words for the actual vow word. We also will see diamonds, and the diamonds highlight the nosim, the different topics, nosim shonim sheyesh lohem kinuyim, the different topics under which you will find kinuyim. Let's now turn to the Mishnah. Ha'omer kinum koneach konem. If a person says any of those expressions in the context of a vow, for example, there's a loaf of bread in front of him, and he says, Konom kikor ze olai. So the result of that is that the bread will be forbidden. And that's why the Mishnah says these are kinuyim for a korban. For example, the original text or expression of a vow would be, Kikor ze olai korban, where a person says, I want this loaf of bread to be upon me, like a sacrifice, or alternatively, korban kikar ze olai. So instead of using the word korban, he uses the word konam or koneach or kones. Likewise, these are, we continue in the Mishnah, chorak, chorach, choraf, hare elu kinuyim lecherem. Cherem is, again, we have seen in the past, as an expression that has to do with the realm of vows, where you dedicate or you impose a restriction on the item, as would be the case if you, let us say, dedicated an item to the Beis Hamikdash. So you might say regarding an item, Hareze Cherem. That would in effect be a dedication to the Beis Hamikdash, rendering the item prohibited for your personal benefit. So an alternative expression to cherem are the words we just read. Now we go to the topic of nazirus, as you can see in the following next diamond that's coming up. Nozik, noziach, poziach, hareilu kinuyim, linazirus. These would be alternative words for acceptance of a Nazirite status. Shivusa, shkuka, noder b'mohi, hareilu kinuyim l'shvua. These are alternative expressions for an oath. And now we get into the background or the underlying issue that that exists with regard to kinuyim. Where did they even come from? And on the side we have an osei, a topic heading, Mahu Hashoresh Shel Kinuyim. What's the root of this idea of having kinuyim, alternative expressions? So in the Gemara we're going to see, number one, Rabbi Yochanan says, Loshon Umos. These are actual foreign words spoken by people of different tongues. We can say they're translations of the word korban in different tongues. And a second approach that Rish Lakish presents, Loshon She Bodu. Bodu is the word, a word you'll find in the Gemara. It means it has to do with in something invented. Loshon shebodu himtziu chachomim. Himtziu is a more common modern expression for something that's invented. Lios noder bo, in order to serve as a language of a vow. Kedei shelo yaskir amilo korban, so as to avoid using the word korban. Now, of course, you're going to ask, why is it so important to avoid using the word korban? So that is something we'll see in the Gemara. Now, turning to the Gemara, Itmar, kinuyim, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, loshon umos hein. Rabbi Yochanan says that the kinuyim, those are all those double underlined expressions that we saw in the Mishnah, those are all foreign tongues. They're translations in different languages of the respective words, korban, cherem, nazirus, or shvua. Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish Omar, loshon she, bodu, lohem, chachomim, liois noiderbo. These are expressions that the rabbis invented in order to use for making a vow. V'chein hu omer, and what the Gemara does now is it brings a posuk where you see the word shebodu in a scriptural source. It says v'chidish shebodo milibo, and in the context of that posuk, it has to do with the invention of a holiday. Why would the rabbis establish alternative words for these respective categories of vowels? Answer, delo lemo korban, so as to enable a person to accept upon himself a vow or an oath without uttering the word korban. I know that korban is a four-letter word, pardon the offhanded reference, but nevertheless, why is it so important to avoid the use of it? Lemo korban, say the word korban. What's the catastrophe? It's not a bad word. Dilma omar korban lashem. We're afraid that he might use the expression korban lashem. Now, korban lashem is an expression that you find in the Torah. We'll call it a rather common expression, or it's an expression that people can easily lapse into. So Morris says, "Valema korban lashem." Once again, what violation is there in saying korban lashem? If you're actually dedicating something as a korban, let us say a person has that intent to take upon himself a vow, offering something as a sacrifice. Why not say the original term korban lashem? The Gemara answers, why did they invent saying konam or koneach instead? The Gemara answers, dilma omar lashem velo omar korban. We're afraid that if a person says, if we would allow people or not have alternative words, instead of saying korban lashem, a person might intend to say, he might say lashem korban. And if a person says that, he might actually say lashem and stop short there without saying the word korban, him having just said the word lashem without the follow-up word korban. And if a person ends up doing that, stopping short after just saying lashem, he in effect will have uttered the name of the Almighty for naught, for no reason. And it's taught in the following Tanaic Sus Reb Shimon Oimer. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Minayin shelo yoimar odom lashem oila, or lashem mincha, lashem toido, lashem shlomim. From where do we know that a person should not, when dedicating an actual sacrifice, should not phrase it like we just saw? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, korban lashem. So when you want to dedicate something, you have to be careful not to say lashem and then specify the name of the korban, because, as we said, you might stop short. V'kal v'chomer, and from this we draw the following kal v'chomer logic. Uma zeh shelo niskaven, a person who, let us said, he wanted to say lashem korban. He wanted to make a dedication of something to the Beis HaMikdash. He wanted to offer it as a dedicate an animal as a sacrifice. He had very nice intentions, and that is shelo niskaven. Let's read that word again. Uma zeh shelo niskaven elo laskir shem shemayim al hakorban. Imagine a person had very fine, pure intentions to attach the name of Hashem on a sacrifice. And the Torah says, if you intend to dedicate something as a sacrifice, say Korban Lashem. Don't say Lashem Korban. So levatola alachas kama v'kama, someone who blurts out the name of Hashem without any pure intention, without any sacrificial dedication intent, all the more so that would be a sinful act. Up till this point then, what we've seen is a machlokis, or Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, as to what's the root of a kinui. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a foreign tongue. And according to Reish Lakish, it's a rabbinic invention, so as to avoid using the word korban, which, as we just explained, could lead people to say Lashem without saying the word korban and then having the name of Hashem as enunciated in vain. Leimo ketanoi, shall we say, and we have a long question, shall we say that the machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish, who are Amoraim, is actually an older, historically speaking, an older machlokis, a machlokis tanoim? The question you'll see, as we mentioned, is a long question, and we should point out that a triangle shape will appear in our markings, and on the side, we've explained it under the Nosei Mivne heading, the Nosei, the topic heading, with a structural note. We see a triangle featured, and we've written on the side, Nisyoinois lahasbira machloikis beishame bishilo linin kinuye kinuyim. We're going to have a Tanaic source in which a Tanaic controversy between beishame bishilo is presented concerning something called kinuye kinuyim. We'll try to explain that in greater depth as we go on in the Gemara. So, can we say that the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is a machlokes tanoim? Leimo ketanoi beishamay oimrim kinuye kinuyim asurin ubeisil omrim kinuye kinuyin mutarin. That if a person uses an expression that's a kinui of a kinu, and if you're going to ask what is that, notice if you just skim down in our Gemara markings, our Mark Daf Gemara, you'll notice some more double underlining, and what do you notice is underlined? So you'll see a few lines later, Hechidomi kinuye kinuyim of, and you'll see diamonds of Nidorim, and likewise the same marking that we saw earlier we're using over here as well. How do you? What are examples of kinuye kinuyim of Cherem, of Nazirus, of Shavua? All of these will be presented later in the Gemara. But let's just acknowledge that there is something that there are words that are categorized as kinuye kinuyim. The word kinui in other contexts is we said before, it's an alternative expression. And when it comes to people's names, for example, it's not associated with this Gemara at all, but nevertheless you find Gemara references to the term, using the word kinui in names. For example, if a person has a name, his name is Robert, and he's called Bob, Bob is a kinui of Robert. If a person's name is Yisrael, and they call him Sruli, or his name is David, and they call him Doodle, those are kinuyim of formal names. We call them nicknames. In fact, if you look at the word kinui and you switch the letters, you take that word and you switch it backwards, instead of chof yud nun, you look at nun yud chof, you get the word nick. There it is, like a nickname. Even Nick is a kinui of Nicholas. So we want to say that maybe the machlokis, we're asking a question, the machlokis between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish is a machlokis tanoim, where you see Beis Shammai saying that if a person uses kinui, it is effective, it's binding, it's restrictive, it works, it takes effect, and Beis Hillel says it doesn't. So why? What's the machlokis? What's the underlying machlokis? My love, here's attempt number one to explain this machlokis, is it not so? Man di omar kinuye kinuyim asurin. Beis Shammai, who says that using kinuye kinuyim is effective, kosovar kinuyin loshoin umois hein. That kinuyim are foreign tongues, and just like the kinuyim we saw are foreign tongues, they're translations of the original word korban, so too these are likewise translations And Aloma Domer Mutorin, Beis Hillel says that Kinuyim Kinuyim are mutor. In other words, they're not restrictive. They don't bind. It's Kosovar Loshem Shevodu Lohen Chachomim. That the original Kinuyim that we saw before are rabbinic inventions. And as such, the original words are things that the rabbis invented. And that's it. Those words. But they didn't invent the kinuyei kinuyim expressions. So that, since they didn't invent those, they're absolute meaningless sounds. They're not even words. So, if that's the case, then Beis Shammai would represent the opinion that they're loshen umos. And who would that parallel? So we saw that would be like Reb Yochanan. And Beis Hillel, according to this suggestion, is that it's that the original kinuyim was a rabbinic invention, and that would parallel Reish Lakish. And if, just to repeat ourselves, if the original kinuyim were rabbinically invented words, those are the words they invented, not the other words, the kinuyei kinuyim, which we'll see examples of those things later. The Gemara says, no, lo. That's not the explanation of the machlokes tanoim. Rather, the kulei alma, as far as all the tanoim are concerned, kinuyim, loshon, umos, hein. The kinuyim, the original kinuyim, are foreign tongues. And that means that all, that's very good, by the way, for Rabbi Yochanan's position. Here you say that you see the Gemara saying that all Tanoim will fall in line with Rabbi Yochanan's explanation. Ube Shammai Safri Bahani Nami Mishtoyumos. The Kinuyei Kinuyim, again, we'll see examples of them just a few lines from now. Those are also foreign tongues, so that we originally saw three foreign tongues. We're going to see more foreign tongues later on. And Ubeis Hillel, Savri, Bahani, Lomish, Doyumos, the Kinuyei Kinuyim terms are no people of the world use those words. V'i Boyasema, another explanation of the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai Savri, Gazrinon, Kinuyei Kinuyim, Mishum Kinuyin, that even if the Kinuyei Kinuyim don't represent a foreign tongue, nevertheless, if a person uses those kinuyei kinuyim, we want the vowel to be binding, so as to not be lax with someone who uses an actual kinuyei. But again, according to this Eboy Sema, the third approach, we're accepting what we said in the stage two, that these basic kinuyim are loshen umos. And Beis Shammai, consistent with their standard restrictive approach to things, goes a step further and says even these non-foreign tongues, but if you use those words, we want your vow to be binding so as not to be lax with regard to a person who uses, or with, or a case where you use an actual kinui. Ubeis Hillel Savri lo gazrinon kinuyei kinuyin mishum kinuyin. Beis Hillel will tell you, we don't impose that additional restriction. Namely, if a person vows using a kinui, so he's using an actual foreign tongue to express his vow. As far as kinui, those are just their audible sounds, but they're not words. And hence, we're not going to impose any restriction if he uses those expressions, because Beis Hillel simply says there's no need to impose a gzera. Hechi domi kinuyei kinuyim dinadorim. What would be examples of that? And as we go on in the Gemara, essentially till practically the next Mishnah, we're going to see I'm hesitating saying words. They're presented as words, but they might just be audible sounds that are combined in letter form to form what looks like a word. There's no point in translating them. All that one has to do is associate them with a given topic. So here we continue, Hechidomi Kinuyei Kinuyim of Nedarim. What would be an example of that? Now, the Kinuyim of Nedarim, we already saw. That we saw in our Mishnah. Those included the words, the expressions konam, koneach, kones. Those are formal kinuyim. However, whatever approach you take, either Rabbi Yochanan or Reish Lakish's approach, but those are terms or phrases or words that exist in reality. The question now is regarding kinuyei kinuyim. We saw that, and according to approach number two, kinuyei kinuyim, according to Beis Hillel, are nothing. They're not even foreign tongues. But what would be examples of kinuyei kinuyim of nidorim? Toni Rav Yosef, mekan mino, mekan chino, mekan sino. The word mekan mino, if you look carefully at the word, it's a kinui of konam, and konam itself is a kinui of the word korban. So mekan mino is a kinui of a kinui. Mekan chino, likewise, is a kinui of the word koneach, and mekan sino is a kinui of the word kones. Each one of those expressions themselves, namely konam, koneach, and mekones, were a kinui of the word korban. Hechidomi kinui kinuyim dechirem. Toni mafsho. Mafsho is the name of a sage. So mafsho teaches charakim, charachim, and charafim. And again, you can see the original kinui of chirem were the words charak, charach, and charaf. And these are what we call adjustments of those words. Hence, we call these are kinuyei kinuyim. And likewise, with regard to the next expressions, kinuyim dinazirus, Tony Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef teaches mechazkino. That might remind you of the expression of nozik that we saw in the Mishnah. And the next word is minazkino and mafichno. The Gemara continues, Ibaya laho, mifchazino mai. What about this word? Or mischazno. What about that? Misazno mai. What about that word? We take a look at the Rashi, a couple lines up from here. Rashi says, mifchazno mai, mischazno mai, te mischalef be min zachno. The word mifchazno could be confused with the word, the expression minazchino. Mi have kinuyei kinuyim alibo deman deosar. Would mifchazno be categorized as a kinuyei kinuyim of the opinion that holds that it really is binding? We saw that in terms of Beis Shammai above. They in the source we saw that kinuyei kinuyim are binding. What would be the din regarding these words? So let's continue in the Gemara. Omar le Ravin le Ravashi, kinmo mai. In other words, we don't have an answer to that question, but there's a new question concerning this word, kinmo. And what's the point of deliberation regarding kinmo? So two sides of analysis. Koinam ka Omar, is kinmo in effect like konam, which is a real kinui, oidilmo, or if a person says kinmo besem komar, kinmo besem is a spice that you find in the spices offered in the Beis HaMikdash, and hence it's not a vow. Omar le Rav Acha brei du Rav Chiyo le Rav Ashi, kino mai. And there's another question, what about that word? If a person says kino kikorze, kino sheltana goylim komar, is he referring to a nest of birds? O dilma loshon de konam, or maybe he's referring to an actual kinui of the word konam, and that would then be a real vowel. Tiboi, the Gemara leaves this off unresolved. So you have like the word teku you find in many other Gemaras. Here you have the word tiboi. Kinuye kinuyin de shvua hechi dummy. Up till now, you notice there were three diamonds which covered the topics of Nidorim, Cherim, and Nazirus, what about Kinuye Kinuyim of vows, of Shvuas? The Gemara answers what they would be, Shvuel, Shvusiel, Shkukel. The Gemara asks, regarding the first expression, Shvuel, that's a Kinuy of Shvuas, Shvuel ben Gershom Mashma. That the word Shvuel is actually a name. And the individual's name is Shvuel ben Gershom. This is a name that you find in the Book of Chronicles in Divrei Hayomim Aleph Perek Chavov. It doesn't imply a vow. So the Gemara answers Ela Shavuv El. Shivusi el, shkuk el. With this change, we're essentially changing the first expression, but shivusi el and shkuk el remain as we saw just before. Omar Shmuel, Omar Ashivza. If a person uses that expression, lo Omar klum, it's meaningless. Ashkika, lo Omar klum. Krincha, lo Omar klum. Nodar b'moyi harei elu kinuyim. This, of course, we saw this at the end of our Mishnah at the bottom of Yud Omer Aleph. The Mishnah mentioned nodar b'moyi, and the Mishnah said that these are kinuyim of shvua. So, Tanya, Reb Shmuel Gamliel Oimer, Ha'imer b'moyi lo omar klum. What we're going to have to pause on in a moment is Reb Shmuel Gamliel coming to disagree with what we saw in the Mishnah? The Mishnah said, Nodar b'moyi, that is a kinuy, it's one of the kinuyim of a shvua. And here, Reb Shmuel is saying, one who says b'moyi, it's meaningless. However, b'mumsa di omar moyi harei elu kinuyim l'shvua. Now, let us take a look at the Meforshim on this, the commentaries. We look at the Ran commentary. You'll see on the upper part of the Ran page, the fourth line of the Ran column, fourth line from the top. Tanya b'shmul omer nader b'moyi lomar klum. The Reb Shimon Gamliel is coming to explain the Mishnah. He's not coming to argue. Let's read that again. The Mishnah that says Nodar B'moyi, lo di Omar B'moyi B'lechud. It's not that he said only that word. Elo di Omar B'mumsa di Omar B'moyi. Klomar b'shvua shenishba Moshe. The word mumsa is an Aramaic word referring to a shvua, to a vow. And b'moyi is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kidechtiv vayoyel Moshe lo sheves es ha'ish. And the pasuk is found in Shmos Perek Beis. U'mishum hachi tanan nodar b'moyi. And that's what the Mishnah intended when it said Nodar B'moyi. It means a person vowed in using the oath of that Moshe Rabbeinu made. And in Shmos Perek Beis, you see that Moshe Rabbeinu made a vow. The Ilu Omar Shvua Shkuka B'moyi Oyamashma Di Omar B'moyi B'luchud U'mishmachi Tnan Nodar. If the Mishnah had said the word, it had said simply Shvua, Shvukaj, and B'mohi, which the Mishnah did not say, the Mishnah said Nodar B'mohi. Had it Mishnah said just the word B'mohi in the list, I would have thought that that's all the guy says. Therefore, Mishmachi Tanan Nodar. It adds the verb Nodar. He vowed B'mohi Lashminen. Deboinon Shiaskir Nidroi Shil Moshe. Tahainu Shvua. And that's where Reb Shmuel Gamliel is explaining that the Mishnah that said Nodar B'moyi doesn't mean that a shvua, a vow, takes hold if you simply use the word B'moyi, but rather it means that you vowed using the vow that Moshe Rabbeinu used. So, as we said, Rav Shimon Leo here in this Braisa is simply coming to explain the Mishnah. Let us also look at the Rosh commentary on the second line under the Gemara text. B'moy lomar klum, shinire shehabeis hi mishem ateva, ve'en b'mashmuse klum. The Rosh understands that what Rav Shimon Leo is saying, that if you say b'moy, the beis is part of the root of the word, and there's no sense that doesn't, that word doesn't mean anything. V'ainu taimo de'b'mumsa, aval mohi u'mumsa hen kinuyin l'shvua. The shvua metargaminon mumsa. The beis is not part of the root of the word, but it's a prefix. And rather, as a prefix, your basic word is mohi. And the word mohi is a targum, is an Aramaic word for shvua, for an oath. U'mohi doime lu'umi vayishava, the word vayishava mitargaminon vi'omi. So the word vi'omi, omi, or mohi, very similar expressions, so that what Rav Shimon Leo then is saying, that if you say b'mohi, that in and of itself would create the impression that you're saying an expression where the beis is part of the root of the word. Therefore, in order to dispel that, you would say, if you would say the mumsa de omar mohi, there the word mohi is presented without the prefix to it, and hence it has a connotation of a shavua. Now, as we continue, we learn the Mishnah, and Mirtz Hashem, the next shir will pick up with the Gemara on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Ha'omer lechulin she'echolach." Notice the Rosh commentary: "Lechulin she'echolach halamid nokud bepasach." The avi kemo lo chulin. The word would be read la chulin she'echolach, with being that there's a pasach vowelization. It's like it's as if a person is saying lo chulin shocha, meaning that which you would eat for me is not chulin. So if it's not chulin, if it's not common food, then what is it? A korban. And a korban is something that's forbidden. So we continue. If a person says la chulin she'oichaloch, or lo kosher, velo dochi, tohor, vitome, nosar, upigol, Osir. Using any of these expressions, if a person says, for example, nosar she'ochelach. Now, nosar is something that is, we'll call it the leftover meat of a sacrifice beyond the allowed time for its consumption. Pigol is a sacrifice that was offered with wrongful intentions. So if you use any of these expressions associated with a particular item, the vow takes hold. And we have a long list of other expressions. Ke'imra. Imra has to do, on a strictly translation level, has to do with a sheep. However, when you say sheep, you might be referring to the sheep that were offered as part of the daily sacrifice. Kedirim. Deer is a pen in which animals are kept. So it might be a reference to a pen of animals dedicated as sacrifices. You're going to see at the end of this list, all of these result in being an actual vow, a dedication as of an animal as a sacrifice. And likewise, if you say ke'etzim, like wood, ke'ishim, those are things offered on the fire. Eish is the root of the word ishim, offered on the fire. Kemizbeach, like the altar, kehechal, kiushalayim, nodar be'echot mikol misham sheha mizbeach. Or if a person mentioned any of the vessels used there in conjunction with the altar, afal pi shelo hizkir korban. In any of these expressions, even if he didn't use the word, the formal word sacrifice, harei zeh nodar be'korban, he in effect is vowing dedicating the item concerning that he was referring to in conjunction with any of these expressions, it's now dedicated as an actual sacrifice. Rebbe Omer, Omer Yerushalayim, Lo Omar Klum. If a person simply says the word Yerushalayim, now the Rosh points out using the word Yerushalayim without a chaf, in other words, without saying Ki Yerushalayim. The chaf means like Yerushalayim, but he doesn't say that. He says Ki Karzeh Yerushalayim. So Lo Omar Klum. Just using the word Yerushalayim in the conjunction with an item doesn't have any meaning. Amir Sashem, as we mentioned before, that in our next year we're going to then analyze the Mishnah and try to discover some underlying principles that help to explain things. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.